This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show.
Of course, it's just the second time in NHL history that two guys with the same name have played on the same team. As the Red Wings score in the Vancouver zone, Ben Chiarot got a wrister through for the left point. There was all sorts of traffic in front, and it beat Lankin and Glove's side. Detroit takes a 2-1 lead. Garland, right wing into the Red Wing zone, had his stick lifted. Here's Hedl into the slot. Left wing, driving the goal. He scores! Philip Hedl scores his first as a Canuck in his first game in blue and green, and it's a 2-2 tie with 9:14 left in the third.
With instant reaction from the players and coaches.
DeBrincat left wing to the Vancouver line, 3-on-2. High slot for Raymond, back to DeBrincat, he scores! Alex DeBrincat was wide open to the right circle, or the left circle rather. Kevin Lankinen never stood a chance. And the Red Wings, who never trailed in the game tonight, take it 3-2 in the final minute of overtime.
Have your say on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Canucks to drop a 3-2 overtime decision in Vancouver against the Red Wings at Rogers Arena. And this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Bick Nazar. And we are going to bring in Randeep Janda into the discussion coming up in a few minutes. You can grab your phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll free, 1-888-275-0650. You can also hit us up on our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. After a 3-2 Canucks loss, they were down 2-1 in the third, did tie it up at 2, go to overtime, but ultimately end up losing. Now, it was a game where a number of new Canucks made their debut. We saw Marcus Pettersson, Philip Hedl, Andrew O'Connor. And I'd say, Bick, despite the loss, all three new Canucks acquitted themselves well to varying degrees. Philip Hedl was the big star, scored the game-tying goal to send it to overtime. And we'll get to the goals and how it all came to be. But as far as how the new Canucks performed tonight, overall, it was a positive effort from the three new members who made their debuts.
Yeah, you heard from Rick Tocchet earlier today, just talking about show your identity of who you are, right? No new integration is going to go seamless.
Right.
Everyone's just kind of figuring out who they are. This isn't training camp to figure out, all right, we got some time to work through this. This is in season, step into a playoff chase, figure out who you guys are and how you fit with your teammates on the fly. So it's going to be clunky a little bit. But, you know, first impressions, you kind of got a sense of who each guy was. We can, you know, talk about the levels of effectiveness of how it translates moving forward. But, yeah, you certainly got, as far as, like, making impressions on your debut, like, it was easy to see what Marcus Pettersson is all about. And he even said it this morning, you know, simple two-way game. And,
yeah,
you saw simple, effective plays that are just, okay, when you execute the simple things, you can see how the puck just moves about the ice. Hedl, I assume we're going to get a lot of conversation about him because a lot of people certainly impressed with his play, and you see the flash and dash in his game. And Drew O'Connor is I think the one you and I might spend the most time about tonight, just because it was interesting. Like he was quick on the forecheck, helped create the first goal with just that speed. And we chatted a lot about on Friday a post game that it's not just that they made the trades; it's the profile of player that they went and targeted. Hedl and O'Connor in particular,
yeah,
in the 90th percentile of skating in the NHL per the NHL edge data, and it showed immediately, and this team just looked like they had a bit more jump in their game.
They did, and they had a number of chances. Alex Lyon was really big for the Red Wings, made a number of big saves here tonight, and it was frustrating that they end up in another OTL, the 11th of the campaign for the Canucks. So as much as things have changed, it seems like it remains the same once you get to that extra period. It just hasn't gone the Canucks' way so far this year. But, you know, overall, as far as the team performance goes, there were a lot of positives about, especially in how the new guys made their debuts. Like, what was your overarching takeaway from the game tonight?
Yeah, a couple of things, guys. Speed, you guys were just talking about that. I think Drew O'Connor's first two shifts of the game, those were something that, you know, were really, really strong. So, you know, he can skate. He's first to pucks as well. Just he doesn't necessarily always have to possess it, but he keeps it alive. So a player like Suter, or, you know, you've got Kiefer Sherwood's able to jump on it, extend the play. And then the other thing, guys, holding on to pucks, making plays, carrying the puck, right? You look at the possession numbers, I don't know what they are now, but through 40 minutes, it was Philip Hedl leading the way, Drew O'Connor number two, and at one point, Marcus Pettersson had jumped up into that second spot as well. So players that are comfortable attacking the neutral zone with the puck on their stick, how long have we been hearing Rick Tocchet saying, hey, you know, hold on to pucks, make plays? And when you combine both of those things, especially the two forwards that are a little bit more comfortable, obviously, in the attacking end of the ice, holding on to pucks. I thought, you know, that was a good start for all three of these players. They look good in different ways, but I like that where they're holding on to pucks, they're making plays, and they're comfortable on the puck.
We always talk about, you know, puck possession time, right? Quinn Hughes naturally is usually up over 2 minutes, yep. And it's tough for guys to find the puck when Quinn Hughes has the puck just in general. And usually for forwards, a nice night is about a minute 10 to somewhere around that range, like a solid night. Filippino tonight, 2 minutes and 4 seconds,
yep,
of total possession time. Offensive zone possession time, 54 seconds. Garland led the way with 57 seconds. Again, like, as far as carrying the puck and willing to do some things with it, Filippino, again, showed who he is tonight.
Yeah, the goal is great, you know, playing the trailer on the play and being patient with that, picking for the, you know, waiting for the right moment to take that shot. I love that. But to me, it was, okay, Quinn Hughes is not playing, so you've got a little bit more time on the puck. But when he's not on the ice, you know, we've often talked about certain lines having to be with a Quinn Hughes on the ice, and he's going to dictate that. He's going to handle the puck. Well, Filippino, at least in one game, has shown that he can be that guy that can drop deep,
yeah,
and give you a zone exit. He can give you a zone entry on the offensive side of things. So that's kind of his profile. Call him whatever you want, whether it's a poor man's Martin Nechas, whatever. But that,
yeah,
that profile is exactly what the Vancouver Canucks need.
Yeah, and you know, on the overtime goal, how much of it was him being fatigued on the back check? Like
50 seconds into that.
You know, so I'm sure that plays a part into it. But it's one of,
yeah,
those you want to see, especially with the clock dying, you want to see somebody just bust the gut, right? Go,
yeah,
as hard as you can and try to take that play away. And but nonetheless, late in the shift, I kind of get it. So a lot of great moments. The one at the end, obviously, didn't go the way the Canucks wanted. As far as Marcus Pettersson is concerned, I think in a game like this, especially without Quinn Hughes, I think it's hard to truly look at how he would fit in and what is going to be asked of him. I thought for the most part he was solid tonight, and the thing that I like a lot about him was how much poise he has when he has,
sure,
the puck, despite when he's feeling that pressure.
For sure, and his also, like, defensively, Bick, as well. I know you're big on leverage, but the way he's able to kind of, you know, make plays with the puck, but defensively, the way he's angles guys and just kind of keeps him behind them. He kind of is on the right side of the puck when he's trying to get the puck out of the zone. So he's one of those guys that you don't necessarily maybe notice the big things just because he's got such an understated game. And I think that's, you know, a credit to him. He plays a quiet game for the most part.
Well, I think the play that maybe best exemplifies that, just because it was a loud moment, but generally speaking, like, these are quiet things you're just,
sure,
noticing. But it was the Kane 2-on-1 at the end of the second period. And it's Kane going around Hronek, but you see the backside is Veleno going to the net.
Yeah.
There's a rebound there for Veleno to try to cash in. And it just Marcus Pettersson basically just pivoting on Veleno, and suddenly this would-be opportunity to jam a puck into the pads of Lankinen or keep a play alive just gets nullified because it's not a big check. It's not like he, you know, scoops up the stick and just takes him out. It just – I'm just going to spin my hips around and just take you – make you go the long way around, and it allows Lankinen to just cover the puck. And it's just like stuff like that shows up. And just even on plays where he does invite a lot of pressure and – you might get stick checked. Like, he did manage to come out with the puck even in some, like, 2-on-1 battles, and somebody,
right,
just pokes away to the winger, and away they go. And you just notice, it's like, oh, okay, you're willing to be a bit daring, a bit courageous in some moments to draw some people towards you and still make a play.
There was one play as well in the offensive zone. It felt like Tyler Myers kind of, like, you know, just kind of took a fall, and then they lose puck possession. It goes back the other way, and normally you're saying, uh-oh, this team's going to back up, and you're eating pressure, and the puck goes aerial. Marcus Pettersson swats it away, boom, done. And we saw that from this team a lot last year, whether it was a collection of defensemen. But he's just, to your point, you know, there's the plays off the puck that are so subtle as well. But that one is just kills a transition attack dead right there and sends it back the other way. So I liked it. And remember, you know, 24 minutes and, what, 39 seconds in this game. He had to eat a lot of ice for his first game with a new team. As a result, of course, Quinn Hughes not playing. But I thought he played a very strong game, and I think for all three players, guys, remember, no practice. This is a game that they all said, hey, we just got to play it based on instinct.
Yeah.
Not bad for a start.
No, absolutely. Now, before we let you go, Randy, if you look at Elias Pettersson's underlying numbers, right, he's second on the Vancouver Canucks tonight, or third on the Canucks as far as Corsi goes, right? Controls 78% of the shots, right? It actually pads him down for 8 high danger scoring chances for, 0 against 5-on-5. And that line, by the metrics, crushed it. But I still left this game wanting.
That must have been all third period work then.
Yeah, first 40 minutes were,
yeah,
quiet.
Well, I don't know because
Because I think their expected goals were like 0.02 after 40 minutes, that line.
Hey, 100%. But I'm saying at this after the game, yeah. right now, that's where they have them. So they, that's where they have Pettersson too. And that line right now, you're right. The line was at 44, where Pettersson himself was at 8 high danger chances, 5-on-5. But so the metrics, if people are going to point to the metrics tonight, be like, Pettersson had a great game. But I don't think he did. Right? Like, we can look at the numbers all
period,
we want.
Like, the third period was significantly better. If the third period carried over or was all three periods, everyone's like, oh, okay, it's trending in a way. But that first two periods was rough.
I agree. I thought in the third he had the one good scoring chance in front of the net, right? And then he set up two really good scoring chances.
Yeah, Besser had a couple of looks.
Besser should have scored. Then in overtime, he had a great look and he missed. So he had chances there, right? But for the first 40 minutes, so to speak, especially when the Canucks weren't converting and when they weren't getting what they needed, especially against this Red Wings team, like, that's a guy you wanted to see more. The first goal happens, right? It's because Drew O'Connor, his speed, his forecheck, that individual effort allowed them to get the zone time to get the goal, right? Filipino, his individual effort led to the tying goal. Where's that moment from Pettersson? That's been lacking here, especially late in the game and especially when this team needs a goal. And now with JT gone and the focus being on him, like, these are the moments he has to rise. And tonight, he created some stuff late, but there's a higher standard expected.
And there's even more pressure tonight because there's no Quinn Hughes, so your other game breaker's not in the lineup. And, guys, to me it was the first 40 minutes, this team, that line specifically, the team overall, you start looking at the underlying numbers, they were dominating 5-on-5. But that line had a lot of one-and-dones, and that F1 just could not get there. And in the third period, you mentioned the chances. That does come from more ozone possession time, whether it was Jake DeBrusk, whether it was, you know, Elias Pettersson driving a little bit more. They were able to generate at least chances. But I think the first 40 minutes are key here, because in those head-to-head matchups against the top line, which they didn't have today, Dylan Larkin was actually away from them. It was more on the Suter line. Mm-hmm. You got to eat. In those first 40 minutes, they did not generate. So, yes, the third period was better. You don't get the finish. But overall, in totality, I still think that line needs a true F1, in my opinion, where I don't see that right now. And I know Jake DeBrusk provides that element, but we haven't seen it consistently enough from Jake DeBrusk.
I think that's a great point, because I don't want to make excuses, because that's not the point. But, like, watching this game, it's like you would love to have a guy that can retrieve pucks on that line. Has some speed as well.
He's got speed, but he's got speed up the wing. It's not necessarily speed to close in on pucks. Like, you watch Drew O'Connor.
Yeah.
Like, the first few shifts, you see, oh, man, he is quick to get, like, good angles.
He's on you right away.
A very good stick, knows how to position himself to
close his guys.
Yeah, and you just see how jarring it is, and, like, Sherwood can do it. You know, Joshua, when he's at his best, can do it. But, yeah, like, it's really missing on that line. And you notice immediately with Hedl and O'Connor, there's just more speed in the lineup all of a sudden. It was very noticeable. That line, though, did not look fast in any way, especially in contrast with how much there was an injection of speed now on this line.
And it also makes it, you know, you don't have that F1, but it actually makes that F2 look slower, right? Yeah. In certain moments, because you're like, you're way late on this play, but that F1 not getting there is really the issue here, right? Like, you can only support what's there. And if there's nothing there in the F1, it's going to make that second forward coming in look really, really slow. So, guys, to me, who, you know, playing connected on that top line, but you got to get home first. You got to get home. And I think that's what they're going to have to cycle through. Is it DeBrusk, or do you move somebody up to say, you know, Hoglander had his stretches last year. I'm not saying it's Nils Hoglander, but who's going to play that buzzsaw kind of role, which that line right now seems to be lacking?
Yeah, again, Sherwood, I'm curious.
Drew O'Connor, is that you mentioned in the pregame? I know you were talking about he could move up the lineup.
Like, I can see him being like, the way that this team, the coaching style profiles, right? They love to have a guy who's a puck retrieval guy, first in the forecheck, the F1. Drew O'Connor's an F1.
Yeah.
And you don't have enough talent to put, like, true top six guys together, because you don't have enough of them. And look at stylistically, can O'Connor be that third guy? Can he do the Ilya Mikheyev role in the top six with somebody? Mm-hmm. Can he finish enough to stay there? That's the question. But given what they have on the roster, like, why wouldn't you try it at least?
I'd just be curious if tonight was...
Of course, not tonight.
No, I'm just saying if tonight was like, oh, let's give this a 5-game audition for everyone, or we're just going to cycle through until we feel like we hit something. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, like, I don't necessarily look at tonight and say, like, oh, the top two lines have to stay together, even though Hedl, Garland had a bit of a connection and they obviously create the goal. But in general, like, I'd still be trying to find the solutions, even if it means, like, breaking things up and changing things a lot here on the fly. Because, if this next 30 games is about, like, oh, let's see what Elias Pettersson has, A, he's got to drive it, but B, you got to try to find solutions around him too.
Well, also the next opposition, right? You need to have your top line clicking against Colorado, right? That's a line. That's a tough task. So guys, I know that's one game, but you want to make sure you're coming in with your best line clicking, or at the very least, not being one and dones in the offensive zone, which for 40 minutes they were. Third period, they figured it out. But you got to be consistent.
100%. Randeep, great stuff, man, as always. We look forward to chatting with you on Tuesday when the Canucks host the Colorado Avalanche.
Cheers, boys. And everybody out there, drive safe. I don't know what the conditions are like right now, but if you see me on the road, please give me room.
Yes, yeah, he might need some room. He needs some room. He's going to be playing ludicrous. Move. Anyways, need more power and efficiency in your lineup? Meet the 2025 Honda CR-V Hybrid with rates from 2.49%. Visit bchonda.ca. And that was your game review. It's Sat and Big. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650, or toll free, 1-888-275-0650. A lot of text messages coming in, and obviously Elias Pettersson is getting a lot of criticism. But I saw one. This one stopped me in my tracks, Bick. It says, "Hey, Sat, are you making it your personal life mission to drive Petey out of town because your man JT was traded?" This isn't the first time I think I got a text where somebody has said, like, you're anti-Elias Pettersson over the 7 years we've been covering him. I can't think of another time where somebody's like, you're trying to drive this player out of town.
You know, one thing that's allowed to happen, you're allowed to be pro two guys. It doesn't have to be just one or the other. It can be like, hey, both of these guys should play it to the best of their abilities here.
I mean, that's why I was team keep JT and team keep Pettersson. And my whole thing leading up to this year was you have two franchise centers that are signed for under $20 million on the cap. As long as they play to their potential, you're set down the middle. And guess what? They haven't played to their potential. That's just the reality. And I don't want Pettersson traded. The thing I want more than anything, Bick, is for him to figure it out and be a superstar player here with the Vancouver Canucks. Because just like we saw with the Miller trade, you're not going to find a player who's instantly better than Pettersson in trade. Well, you can get somebody who might be better than he is today, but not the upside. And if you're punting on that upside and not getting it, like it's a travesty. But the reality is he needs to be better. The franchise depends on him. And tonight there was no Quinn Hughes, and he had some good moments, but we've been talking about good moments all year. It's about delivering. It's about bringing it. And when you're trying to build a franchise and you're building around Quinn Hughes, there has to be another cornerstone player. Right now, it's been lacking because Pettersson hasn't had that level. And in a game like this, it was begging for him to have one big moment and score it. He had some good moments in the third, great moment in the overtime, obviously, but you have to find a way to put that puck behind the goaltender, and that just hasn't happened enough this season.
All my notes from Elias Pettersson this game is all coming in the third period.
Yeah.
Right? It's not like Detroit was just whipping the puck around, flying up and down the ice. Their shots in this game, 6 in the first period, 7 in the second period, 2 in the third period, 3 in overtime. But they weren't overly energetic, so you've got that matchup or that edge for you as well. You were given the easy matchup today. It's alarming. And this is where some like contrasting thoughts are at force here all of a sudden, because there's an admittance that, hey, didn't have the best training camp, didn't come into the best shape, knee tendonitis and all these things. And so now you get to this point where you make a big transaction with JT Miller going out, and we talked about it on Friday, all the eyes are going to go on you now. That's just naturally what's going to happen.
For sure.
Doesn't mean you've got to individually carry everything, but all the eyes and the focus and gaze is going to be shifted towards you.
Yeah.
And so there's this demand, okay, flip the switch now. Do it. Well, you haven't done the requisite work beforehand to perform at the level required, and so all these things are in direct conflict with each other. Whilst, by the way, having this 31-game audition the rest of this season – and looking at what you can do. And so it's a very, very challenging spot for him.
Yeah.
It's difficult. And out here talking like, yeah, I want that pressure. Well, that pressure requires performance. And so far through two games, hasn't been there.
No, absolutely. Fish, the answer, said, are you sure you're not reading the right Elias Pettersson Corsi? I think you're reading DPD. And Pettersson has to be better, Elias, and I have to be better. Because, yes, I was reading Elias Pettersson's Corsi, which was 78%, not Elias, which makes more sense because we're both like, this makes no sense.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, yeah.
It's the first name, not the second name.
Yes. It's yeah. So, anyways, Elias Pettersson was under 50%, and as far as the scoring chances go, one high danger, four, two against.
There we go, okay.
Which makes more sense.
That sounds way more accurate.
Yeah. So, yes, my mistake.
Hey, shout out Elias Pettersson.
Elias Pettersson, I mean, he was
crushing it.
I mean, it was sheltered minutes, obviously, right?
Yes, like of course. We're, and a lot of ozone starts.
A lot of ozone starts. Like, he ended up playing. But he still played 16 minutes of 5-on-5. That's not bad. Like, I thought he was steady tonight. Like, we can talk about the goals, the first goal, I mean, the second goal, and how with experience he'll probably play that a bit better. But he was reliable tonight. I thought he did a good job. All right, Bick, before we go to the phone board, 604-280-0650, what are the people saying to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650?
650-650, keep texting in throughout the course of the show. This one, Josh in Mission, I thought Marcus Pettersson was really good. Poised with the puck under pressure, his reach to break cycles. It really does fit exactly what we need. Liam saying the same thing. Made a ton of smart passes to spur the offense, looking very calm. And that the left side of the defense looks a lot better. Kurt in Victoria with Philip Speedel.
Speedel, okay.
All right, good shout there. I see you working, Kurt. this one, unsigned, our new players look fantastic. Second and third line ran that game because these guys aren't doing it. The new guys were great, but... Actually, I just merged a couple of texts here. Our second and third line ran that game for us, but our first line couldn't convert anything. They didn't generate either. Missed the net on a lot of 2-on-1s and 3-on-1s. Yeah, Brock Besser. 3-on-1 in the first period, misses the net. Opts for a pass to Jake DeBrusque on another 3-on-2. Yeah. Pettersson makes a great pass, and Brock doesn't shoot it on a cross slot pass. There's your opportunity.
Yeah.
Gun shy maybe after the first one, misses DeBrusque on the pass. Who gets tied up, but nevertheless. And then the overtime, Pettersson misses the net as well. So there, yeah, like, there were opportunities.
There
were
lots
too,
of opportunities.
But
they should have won the game, to be honest. When you look at the scoring chance differentials, they should have won this hockey. And give Alex Lyon credit. Made a number of big saves. There was a lot of goldmouth stops he made where it looked like the Canucks were going to score. So you got to give the goalie credit as well on the other side. This text says, kept the wrong guy. Miller, 4 points in two games for the Rangers. We can get into this a bit more later, but I don't think they chose one guy over the other.
Yeah.
I think, especially the more we're, you know, and how Alvin spoke about the situation with JT and how it was kind of mutual and this was best, and he kind of mentioned a healthier environment for him. I think the one component that hasn't been talked about enough, because it's difficult to talk about, we don't have enough information on it, we're talking about somebody else's personal situation, and that they haven't shared details on, and it's hard to speculate on. But I think the mental health component, he went away for 10 games. And I know there's been a lot of speculation and rumors about what may have preceded him going away, but I do think there's a real mental health component here with JT, and how much that played a fact into him ultimately leaving Vancouver, we don't know. But I do think it's not an insignificant part of things. As much as there is the Pettersson thing, and as much as there is, you know, him and JT and Pettersson don't get along, like Rutherford spoke about, and that became an issue for the team, I think his departure wasn't necessarily choosing one over the other. I think independent of what happens with Pettersson, JT was best for him to leave, so to speak. And I don't think this means Pettersson's here after this year. We'll see by the deadline. We'll see in the offseason. He has to prove himself and doesn't have a lot of time left.
No, and that's why I use the word audition, right?
Yeah.
That's what this is now. And it's a lot of pressure. If you want to be in Vancouver, you got 30 games to really figure this out. And this can't be just like a casual of like, oh, he did enough to warrant that no movement clause is going to kick in. Big decisions are on the horizon. And look at the demand from the fans right now. Look at the accountability from the organization right now. All arrows are pointing a certain way. And if you want to flip the script, it's got to be like this dynamic, oh, that's what that guy looks like. What a great reminder of what he is. This 30-game audition, sadly, I'm going to make an old reference here.
All right, what do you have?
This 30-game audition has got to be like Robert De Niro in The Godfather. It's like, wow, this guy's so good. We got to find this guy into Godfather 2 somehow. That's how good this audition is. That's what this has to be. It's like you earn your spot to stay in Vancouver because you're that good. That it's this epic, you're going to be in the next epic. That's great. That's what these 30 games have to be.
Well, I mean, it's you know, I was going to use another one. I was going to say it's like John Travolta revitalizing his career with a small role in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
That's a small role, but can you revitalize it, right? Can you do something here? I think that's a great point. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. We'll get to more of those as the show goes on. Let's take a phone call here before we hit the break. Let's go to Delta, where we have Juggy on the line. Juggy, thanks for calling in. Number one, how you feeling, man? You doing all right? Juggy, do we have you?
After that incident.
Yeah, man. How you doing? You doing all right?
Yeah, a lot better. I definitely feel like I can walk around, and you know, I was kind of dealing with some dizziness for a bit. But yeah, no, I appreciate it, guys. I truly appreciate all the support, as always. And
well, for those who know, I mean, don't know, Juggy sings the anthem. You see him here at Canucks game. Does a tremendous job of it. So he's one of our own, so to speak.
Yeah, and I got hit by a car, so it was tough, you know, start to the recovery, but getting there. And I really appreciate you guys. Look, I just wanted to, you know, make it short and sweet, but you look at the sort of free agent bets the Canucks made in terms of, hey, maybe these guys have some more to give, you know, when it comes to Sherwood or when it came to Heinen, obviously, who's gone now. A lot of these guys have turned out to be just middle six guys, who've played well in roles, but you know, they haven't been able to live up to that. And I feel like maybe that's one of the things that they kind of missed on that. I mean, Jake DeBrusk kind of reminds me, obviously he's got more goal scoring capability, of course, but it kind of reminds me a little bit of like a more effective Tanner Pearson. But like when he like goes streaking, he definitely, you know, can score, but then it's like really, streaky. And when he's not doing anything, it's like he's really quiet, and Brock's been really quiet. I'm sure there's probably more there, and there's probably a lot of noise that mm-hmm. has kind of gotten in, and maybe this will ease them up a little bit. But I guess maybe Brock isn't here long term. Do you guys think Soucy also gets traded? You know, the way sort of Alvin talked about, you know, we're going to keep DPD up here and everything. I wonder if that means that they're looking at options for Soucy. You know, he hasn't had the greatest of years, and so I wonder if that's even a thing. Wanted your guys' thoughts on that, but thank you guys so much again, and really appreciate you guys, and always love listening to you.
I appreciate it, Juggy. Thanks for the phone call.
Fantastic to hear him.
Yeah, great to hear him. Great to hear that he's doing all right. On the Soucy front, I mean, I think anything is possible. Like, the only guy that you can bet is not getting traded is Quinn Hughes, right? Outside of that, I mean, we'll see where things go, right? And for now, I think the organization wants to quiet things down as much as possible to see if this team can get it together and find their way through. So I'm not expecting anything soon, but we do know they're still looking to add to the roster at some point. The deadline is going to be interesting, but that's going to depend also on some players that are on teams that they're looking to perhaps get that are in playoff races. So does that become something that you pursue more aggressively in the off season when you can make those moves and teams can, like, it's hard for a team to give up. Let's say, let's just talk about hypothetically a 24, 25 year old center who's playing on the second line on a team that's in a playoff chase. They might be open to trading.
That's
him.
A very specific reference.
I'm just saying.
You can just say Josh Norris.
Well, okay, well, whatever. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Sure, fine.
Yeah,
Josh Norris.
Mid-20s team. Yeah, absolutely.
Sure. And he's injured, by the way. Got hurt the other game, so we're not even sure where his status is, right? But Ottawa's in a playoff spot. They're third in their division.
Yeah.
And if they trade him in season,
they got to fill that spot.
It's hard to do. They might be more open in the offseason potentially, right? And something along those lines. So we'll see where that goes. But I do think because you start looking at additions and how the dollars go around despite the cap going up, there may have to be a sacrifice. Just doing a quick scan of the numbers, I spoke to you about this over the weekend, Bick, that they may have to move another contract to be able to add two players. Like, if you're keeping Brock and you want to add somebody else who's a big contract, you may still have to move another deal out. Would it be Hoglander? Would it be perhaps a Soucy? So to Juggy's point, I think a lot of possibilities still remain for this team, especially come the offseason.
Yeah, certainly. And also, again, I'm very encouraged what we saw tonight from Elias Pettersson, and he continues
yes.
to grow. I also just don't know if you're going to be like, oh, we on a handful of games, let's just trade a veteran and rely on this
yeah.
rookie right now.
It's so more off-season,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it's far more of an off-season discussion.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. All right, keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox. We'll take more of your phone calls, and we'll hear from the Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet and Canucks players after a 3-2 loss in overtime against the Red Wings here at Rogers Arena. It's Satyar Shah and Bick Nizar, and you are listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment, the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Bick Nizar. Have your say and join me on the People's Show with big takes and even bigger bets weekdays 3 to 4 on Sportsnet 650 or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Garland left circle, cutting wide on the boards, lost the puck. Marcus Pettersson follows up to Garland and the slot side of the goal for Hedl. It bounced off his skate. He couldn't settle it. And here come the Red Wings back to center. DeBrincat left wing to the Vancouver line, 3-on-2. High slot for Raymond back to DeBrincat. He scores! Alex DeBrincat was wide open at the right circle, or the left circle, rather. Kevin Lankinen never stood a chance. And the Red Wings, who never trailed in the game tonight, take it 3-2 in the final minute of overtime.
Back and forth hockey in overtime as Filip Hedl had an opportunity, just couldn't connect with the pass. Connor Garland hit him from the left-hand side, but the puck was in his skates, couldn't handle it, and off to the races the other way as Hedl was late in the shift. 3-on-2, and DeBrincat just gets set up on the right-hand side, and he's been dangerous all night long. Had a goal earlier on in the game, and here on the left-hand side, all by himself, tight angle, but makes no mistake to give Detroit the 3-2 victory in overtime.
Canucks lose 3-2 in overtime against the Wings, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at dleamc.com. Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar. Keep your thoughts coming in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox, 650-650. You can also grab a phone line, 604-280-0650. Now, Bick, before we go to the phone boards, let's take a look at our Dunbar Lumber text inbox. A lot of reaction here tonight. This one from Pardeep says, another loss to a non-playoff team on the back end of a back-to-back. The team is begging for a leader to pull them into the fight, a forward that has the intestinal fortitude to throw the team on their back, and it hasn't been EP40 for years. And when he was getting his points, he was never taking over a game. How many more games, seasons do we have to wait for 11.6 to reach his potential, Pardeep? And that's echoing a lot of sentiments here around Elias Pettersson. And Bick, until he quote-unquote takes a game over, that's going to remain a question mark.
Yeah, and it's going to have to happen soon for him.
Yeah.
Right. Just by his own admission that he wants the pressure. Well, the pressure is now.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to raise your game. I just, based on the commentary of, like, practice habits and training camp and all these things, it just feels like a high ask. I'd be curious if we're going to see it here in the immediate future or if this little run is something that they let play out for some time. And the thing is, like, you're not even going to get a break at Four Nations. You're going to be in a big spot there. So a chance to rest or something is not going to present itself. You're going to be put into the fire pretty quick. You're on an international stage really fast and see how you come through it on the other side. Other texts as well, Augusto and Burnaby, Alvin should trade Pettersson now. Every time he touches the puck, he's falling over, no control whatsoever. I hate that we traded Miller to keep him, and this is the way he responds. It's a terrible player. This one, Mike the Urologist, pretty decent play from the new-look team, missing the most important player and its biggest play driver in Quinn Hughes. Riley in Saskatchewan says, refreshing to see Hedl play with possession and speed. A very good debut from him, and D. Petey should be staying in the lineup.
Well, he played really well tonight. I thought, you know, he played 18 minutes, I think, tonight, or close to it.
Make sure you get the right Pettersson.
Yeah, I messed up at once. Elias, he played 16 minutes.
Elias
played 16 minutes. Elias, the center, 40, played almost 19. And Marcus Pettersson was second in ice time tonight, 25-57 behind Filip Hronek, who played 26-43.
A
lot of ice time.
Calm, casual, 25-57.
Yeah, we'll get into their performances a bit more as the show goes on. And you know, and O'Connor, I liked what I saw from him. Hedl, of course, was very exciting with his speed and skill combination tonight and did score the game-tying goal that sent the game to overtime, ultimately not a W. Let's go back to the phone boards and let's start things off in Surrey where we have Max on the line. Max, thanks for calling in. Now, what are your thoughts here tonight?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Hey, I just thought I only watched the second half of the game, but I was impressed with the new guys. I thought Hedl and O'Connor had some good speed. I thought Petey had a good stick in the D zone. The other thing was I did think Petey, Elias Pettersson, created some good chances in the third. I thought he easily could have had 2 or 3 points. I think if those go in, fans are a little bit happier just seeing the scoreboard. The main thing, though, was just I don't want to trade Besser. I think if you trade Besser, you have 2 top 6 forwards, and that's it. Just want to get your guys' thoughts on that and possibly signing Marner or Rantanen. Thanks, boys.
Hey, thanks for the phone call. Man, I mean, I'd love to see Rantanen here.
Yeah, of course.
I would love to see Rantanen. We'll see if he gets to free agency and whether the Canucks are even in the ballpark. Like, if he gets a free agency, he's probably getting 14, 15, right? Probably 14. If he gets to free agency
I think
free market,
easy number.
With the cap going up, he's getting $14 million, I think.
I just can't imagine that it's not.
Especially if it's 7 years, because you can't offer more than seven if he's in free agency. Like, it's going to have to be 14. It could be below if somebody could get 8 years and have his rights, so to speak. But maybe you can bring the number down a little bit. But that's it. Like, you get to free agency with him. Like, it's going to be a massive number.
It might be just shy of Draisaitl's total money, $120 million.
Yeah.
So 7, 8 years, map that out how you want. But somewhere between McKinnon's 116 and Draisaitl's 120 is where I would put it. And we're talking about 7 to 8 years. Like, it's going to be a big, big number.
Yeah. No, it is. It's going to be a massive number. All right. Keep your thoughts coming into our Dunbar Lumber text inbox. We'll get to more in a second. Let's take another phone call here, and let's go to Surrey again, where we have Souk on the line. Souk, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Hey, Sad. How are you?
Good, man. What's going on?
Hey, I've been watching you since you were on the other show prior to this. You've been positive for most part that doing this. Management sold us on this guy, Pettersson, for some time now, right? And he hasn't performed. He performed for a few years. And now he's under a pressure cooker. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, he was under pressure when he was with Miller. Miller gone. Now he's under a big pressure cooker now.
Yeah.
I don't see this guy turning around. I mean, how many more months, years, or anything it's going to take for this management to realize? I mean, not this management, the ownership to realize this is not the ship. This is not the ship. You can see this new players that come in today, they played faster, stronger, everything. They check almost every column. And we have the same old apples that are hovering around doing exactly the same things. So I don't know what it takes, but it certainly doesn't take what we have to win. And I don't know how far we're going to beat this drum. But the drum is, like, you know, it's getting pretty loose with this Pettersson guy, right? Like, I mean, I have no idea. If we have signed and we made a mistake, I think we need to move on at this point. Even if we can wash our hands off of this guy, it would be better.
Thanks for your phone call, Souk. Appreciate your thoughts. And clearly on the side of trade Elias Pettersson. And, I mean, hey, Bick, how close did they come to moving him? They certainly were pretty far along with Carolina based on reports. So it's not like they haven't been considering it seriously. And, yeah, we'll see what the deadline in the offseason brings, you know. And he's not wrong. Like, we've been waiting a long time for him to turn around. Like, it's
now basically a calendar year, right?
Yeah,
one player of the month in January.
And if you include playoffs, it's been like almost 90 games now.
Yeah.
So we're not just talking about a small sample. Like, it's a long sample, and you can understand why people are skittish about what's going to happen with him here in the future. We're going to get to coach here in a second. What else are people saying in the text inbox? Ross says, our OT record is inexcusable. 3-11 is garbage. Well, it's not great. The Canucks have 11 overtime losses. It's not very good.
I know we do chalk it up a little bit. We're like, oh, well, 3-3, it's not something that translates to obviously the playoffs, but you also got to make the playoffs in those spots. And, it's tough. Did they look dangerous in OT? Like, Pettersson had the one chance.
A couple chances. That was it, right? Like, I mean, Garland, you know, makes
a mistake.
If
Garland doesn't pass that one into Hedel skates, is that a goal in that moment?
I mean, Garland looked like he really missed JT Miller so much. It looked like JT in overtime, right? Like, just kind of like making some high, low percentage plays that are, you know, pretty bold, right? Didn't quite work out for him here tonight. All right, we'll get to more of your texts coming up in a little bit. I mean, New West Nick says, Brock is hard to watch without Miller as a center. Sad to see, and I can't help but think these are his last few games as a Canuck.
Well, Leaf is saying the same thing, showing tonight why he isn't considered part of the core. He'll be dealt by the deadline.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. And we had somebody call who said, don't trade Brock Besser. They want to keep him. So it's not an easy one here for Canucks fans to deal with if Brock Besser does indeed end up getting moved at some point. But still a lot of time until the trade deadline, and we have a Four Nations break coming up. But let's get to the thoughts of the Canucks head coach. Let's go to the podium. Here is Rick Tocchet, brought to you by Tile Town.
Rick, not the result you wanted tonight, but how pleased were you with the way your group drove play overall tonight?
Yeah, I thought we controlled the game, you know. And, yeah, I thought guys played real. I thought new guys played well. Junior there, PD, played defense. I think he played really well. So a lot of positives tonight.
What did you like about Heedle and his game in particular tonight?
Really good. Controlling the play, wanted the puck. Off the rush, he could, you know, obviously he's a guy that can make some plays off the rush. Obviously, big goal for us. So it was a good debut for him.
DP also grabbing his first NHL point. What does that mean for a guy like him?
Yeah, we like him a lot. Thought he played good tonight. You know, he had some of his shots from the point. He's got a heavy shot. He's a thick guy, so a lot to build off.
And Kiefer Sherwood now holds the franchise record for hits in a single season. How impressive is that?
Yeah, it's hard to hit all the time. Yeah, he's done a nice job finishing the body. It's great.
We saw from Heedle and O'Connor, two of your new players, a lot of control in transition, a lot of controlled zone entries. Is that something you'd like to see rub off on the players that were already here before those trades? You'd like to see more of that possession on zone entries?
Yeah, they got speed, right? To be a good rush team, you have to have speed. We just added two guys that have a lot of speed. And they understand, too, getting off the wall, getting the puck in the middle. So hopefully that's contagious. You're right.
And it seemed like the Pettersson line through the first two periods really was struggling to get anything going in the offensive zone, but they seemed to come alive a little bit in the third period. What did you see from them throughout the course of the game?
The same as you. You know, same as you. You know, we had 3-on-1. We had a couple 2-on-1s. We're missing the net connecting. And they had I didn't think they had many chances at all tonight, but they had a couple of rush chances. It's in their net, in our net. So we got to really got to hit the net. We got to make those moments count.
With Drew O'Connor, I know he brought a lot of physicality in that first game and speed as well. Kind of blended well with Kiefer. How do you see that pairing being something moving forward at all, or is that something you just wanted to try tonight?
No, I like it. There's a lot of speed there. A lot of good forechecking. And like I said, you know, I think Drew O'Connor is a guy that there's a lot to work with. You know, I know he hasn't scored a lot, but this year, but there's some things that you can, with that kind of speed and his willingness to take the puck to the interior, he'll get his goals. He's just got to stick with it.
How much does it help for these new guys? A lot of them have mutual connections. They've known a lot of the guys in the room. How much does that help, you know, a group of four guys coming into your locker room, but knowing some guys?
It's great. I've been traded a bunch of times in my lifetime, and when you go to a team and the team accepts you, not so much accepts you, you know, guys will take you to dinner. They'll bring you to the house. It goes a long way. And our locker room's like that. We have a really good bunch of guys in there, so I'm sure they'll take care of those guys.
Rick, how did it feel behind the bench tonight? Did it feel fresh? Did it feel different after this trade?
Well, I think just meeting the kids or the players today, a lot of smiling, a lot of excitement. You know, I thought Pettersson, I don't even know what I call him, Pittsburgh Pettersson or whatever.
New Petey?
What is it?
New Petey.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that one. But anyways,
it's not mine.
I think, I know. I thought he was terrific too. Like tonight, you know, it's a nice trade for us. He could really stabilize our D. But there was a freshness today, just from the guys excited to be here.
And how important is it? I mean, even with four new guys, that means you still have, you know, 19 incumbents who are here. But how important do you think is that the guys take these events and use it as a chance to kind of turn a page and just, you know, re-energize or whatever they have to do these last 30 games?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of games left. And there's some guys that have not, you know, say they're, whatever, not a year that they want. But there's plenty of games to turn the page and refresh. So as much as for the whole team to refresh, other guys can too. Just, you know, this is kind of, okay, we've got the trades and stuff over for now, and this is our team. So we can just kind of like, let's start at zero. You know what I mean? I think sometimes if you do that, you reset. Even for guys that have struggled this year, just reset your brain. Come in with a good attitude, work hard. You know, those are the things that are going to get you out of slumps. But just new guys coming in, adding some speed and stuff, I think it's contagious also too.
We all wonder how center ice is going to play out. Suter goes and gets another goal tonight. He's got 14. He's one off his career high. What about him, Rick? He's such a glue guy. He just seems to bring an element to your team that maybe you have to look long-term on a guy whose contract's up.
Yeah, just like you play him up and down the lineup. He's a smart guy. You know, he very rarely is out of position. You know, he utilizes his angles well. Yeah, you're right. You know, he's got 14 goals. He's a guy that, you know, he's a jackknife, right? You can use him for everything. Sometimes I put him on the wing. Sometimes I need to put him on this line. You know, sometimes, you know, some guys are struggling. I can put him on the top line. So that's a Swiss Army knife, exactly.
A different game with Quinn and OT?
Well, I mean, we had our chance. You know, it's 11 losses. I mean, it's tough, but we had some opportunities. Had some opportunities.
Building on that, do you have an update on Quinn?
He wanted to gut it out, but you know, not the smartest play to play him. So you know him, he wants to play every game. That guy. So 48 hours, we'll see how he is.
And bit of a different question for you. You've been in this business a long time. You've played a lot of hockey. Have you ever seen an anthem booed before?
No, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't want to go into politics now. Trust me. Sorry.
We also saw that Carson Soucy didn't take the game day skate. Word was that
he's
that
a
was
a scratch.
Coach's decision.
Yeah, yeah.
What was the reasoning behind scratching? And you're putting Pedersen, DPD, ahead of him in the lineup.
Yeah, I just think that he needs a reset. I think he's had a tough go here. He was a big part of the team last year. He's been struggling a little bit. I just felt that we got to get a little bit more compete from him. That's all. But sometimes players need a reset, step away from the actual game, practice, do some video with footy, and kind of get your, like I said, the refresh. Everybody, get that refresh button. Start at zero.
That is Canucks head coach Rick Tocchet at the podium. From vision to reality, Tile Town has everything you need for your tiling project. See them today in Victoria, Richmond, and Langley, and online at mytiletown.ca. And, you know, he ends it on Carson Soucy, who was a bit of a surprise scratch. We wondered why he was scratched, and the coach was pretty blunt. It's been a tough goal. We've all seen it. The thing that stood out to me was need a bit more compete. Maybe it's one of those things you lose some confidence and, you know, you don't quite have the same get-up in your game. They want to see him probably not just being physical. I think they want to see him just play with a bit more assertiveness, right? It's been a tough go for him. Like the coach said, like we've talked a lot about how this year Soucy played like a top four defenseman, number four last year, and that's fallen off considerably this year.
They're out of the lineup.
Yeah, and as much as we talk about them not having good enough defensemen outside of Hughes and Hronek, and they had injuries too, but the fact that Soucy's game fell off compounded what was already some question marks on the blue line.
Think of what we talked about with the new guys that came in today. It was, they showed their identity and they showed who they are. You know, Carson Soucy in his games last year, you saw it. It was effective, like protected the blue line, made simple plays, quick passes to get it out. You know, we really haven't seen that this year. And if a version of yourself isn't manifesting, trying to be something you're not, and, you know, you start grasping at anything, and do you lose an element of yourself there too where you're not competing hard enough? And that's something that you don't really want to hear a coach say about you, that we need more compete from him. So he's gonna have to hit that F4 button and hit refresh, as Rick Tocchet was mentioning there, and see what it looks like when he comes back into the lineup.
I mean, Doug in Victoria says, I thought the team played really good today, shot the Wings, not to worry. And I thought the coach said some similar things, like he liked a lot of things that they did, controlled the game, liked how the new guys played, but they didn't capitalize on some chances. And he really bemoaned the couple chances the Pedersen line had. And he agreed they struggled the first 40 minutes, were better later, just like we kind of talked about earlier. And those odd man chances, missing the net, have to hit the net and make those moments count. And, you know, it's not him calling out Pedersen, so to speak, but, you know, like Sade from North Van says, I mean, that in some ways is calling out your top forwards because they're all on the same line. DeBrusk, Pedersen, and Besser. They're your three highest paid forwards playing together.
Yeah, there was nothing in there that was like an endorsement.
No.
And even the idea that they played really well, I mean, was it like a 7 out of 10 performance? Like, they were definitely better than
the
Red
third.
Wings.
In the third. Oh, the Canucks? Yeah, yeah.
No, just the Canucks in general.
Yeah, probably like, 7. Like, yeah, maybe, was, 7, maybe 7 and something.
But
that or
leaves a pretty wide margin of error.
Because
there
your
for
top
the other
guys
team.
Aren't there, yeah. Right? Not having Hughes is one thing, of course, right? But Pedersen was what, out of 6 tonight? Like, if he plays at an 8, maybe the team plays at an 8. Like, that's
that,
the that
little difference
thing, right?
Takes it, right? As much as everybody wants 10 out of 10, too,
yeah.
Just that little difference probably tips it over the top.
Yeah, and we just didn't see that enough, right? Now, we heard the confusion in the Pedersens. KG says PD, DPD, re-PD, new PD, doesn't like the new PD, but he did like the Pedersens, right, outside of Elias Pedersen. He liked Elias, the young defenseman, talked about how he's a big body and strong and has a good shot, and he gets the assist. That's what he said. You know,
two C's.
Yeah.
He didn't say that, but he didn't hear it in the tone.
That's what he meant. Yeah. That's what he meant. I know we're like phrasing, because everybody's, you know. But anyways, like we thought he played well too, mm-hmm. and he liked how they played. But Marcus Pedersen, I mean, obviously Adam Foote was comfortable with him playing him over 25 minutes, and he said he was terrific and can be a real stabilizing force on the back end.
Yeah, and a lot of people are mentioning that they how much they liked Marcus Pedersen tonight in the inbox. 650. Keep coming with those messages tonight, and yeah. Again, the new guys, he went out of his way to compliment them a couple of times. And just mentioned the odd man rushes and that they were, or sorry, off the rush opportunities that obviously Filip Hedl created, and complimenting what he can do off the rush, and that the two forwards showed that they can get the puck off the wall and take it to the middle of the ice. And Hedl had a moment like that too,
yeah.
Where he took it strong, obviously, on the first goal. Drew O'Connor plays a big role in what he can do in that on his forecheck. So. Yeah, there's something there for the new guys.
Yeah, no doubt. This text here says, embrace the reset. That's essentially what the coach was saying, right? Like, you know, you all start from zero, new team. And part of it is you can hear kind of alluding to Pedersen. Some guys haven't had the years they want to have, but here's a new team now. Here's a new moment. It's about what you do the rest of the season. You can still gain. There's still a lot you can do to turn this around. And you can see the positive messaging here, right? Like, he's really trying to enforce that. And I do think the one part of Marcus Pedersen, which is important, I think, for this team, is how vocal he is. And obviously his first game is going to take some time. But everything you hear and you talk and mention how Sidney Crosby reached out to him and spoke very highly of both players, but especially Pedersen's leadership and asking around, one thing you hear is how vocal he is and how supportive and positive he is around the group. And we know this team is pretty quiet and a lot of guys don't talk enough. Talk had spoken about this. And they just lost a massive force in that field with JT Miller not being there. He was kind of the catalyst, always talking, always getting guys going, for good or for bad, right? Now at least they brought somebody else in who can be a voice like that, but generally a very positive, uplifting, good guy to have around that's going to be a leader for the team, hopefully.
He mentioned stabilizing the defense. Can he
stabilize
the vibes in the locker room, yeah, as well? That would be a huge benefit, right? And that would lean towards the resetting of what the season is, because, you know, if you're Rick Tocchet, you can't keep, you know, not that Rick Tocchet does this a lot anyways, of being the stern, booming, heavy disciplinarian type, but yeah, there was a big trade here, and everyone can just kind of take a second here to just look around the room and say, yeah, all right, things are changing. And things change when you lose. This team hasn't won enough, so big decisions are going to be left to management if the team doesn't win. So if you want to stay on the team, you better get going. And Rick Tocchet's preaching a reset here. And so try to start from zero. Don't worry about what happened in the past. Focus on what's going to happen next. And
yeah.
Again, like they got to get themselves squared away here pretty fast, because the playoff spot, Calgary up right now, a goal in the third period. So Canucks are even on points, but Calgary's got a game in hand that they're playing right now. They could wind up tomorrow.
Being two up.
Being two back, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. So we'll see how that game goes. All right. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox. We'll get to more of your phone calls on the other side as well, as the Canucks Central Post Game Show rolls on, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Let Kubota do your heavy lifting. Visit them online at dleamc.com. We'll hear from Canuck players as well, the new Canucks, Filip Hedl included, and hopefully we have time to connect with Ian McIntyre if time permits, but we'll see as the show goes on. More coming up next in the home of your Canucks after a 3-2 Canucks loss against the Red Wings in overtime on Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Dan Riccio.
And Satyar Shah.
Join us for Canucks Central, where we will set up the game and break down the latest around the Canucks.
4 to 6 p.m. and post-game on Sportsnet 650 and wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Canucks Central Postgame Show.
Join the discussion on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650
and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Berger got it out to center, knocked down by Marcus Pettersson, ahead for Connor Garland. Right wing into the red wing zone, had his stick lifted. Here's Hedl into the slot, left wing, driving the goal, he scores! Philip Hedl scores his first as a Canuck in his first game in blue and green, and it's a 2-2 tie with 9:14 left in the third.
And that's how you arrive in style. Philip Hedl tying up this game.
Really good. Controlling the play. Wanted the puck. Off the rush, you could, you know, obviously he's a guy that can make some plays off the rush. Obviously big goal for us. So it was a good debut for him.
Philip Hedl scores a goal in his debut, sends the game to overtime. Canucks ultimately lose 3-2 against the Wings at Rogers Arena. And this is the Canucks Central Post Game Show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Satyar Shah with Bick Nizar. And as always, get your thoughts in to our Dunbar Lumber text inbox 650-650. And let's go there, Bick, first before we go to the phone boards. What are the people saying here tonight?
This one, Dave in North Burnaby. What happened to the kid with the brilliant hockey IQ, alien puck skills, and speed and edge work to go along with his great shot? Where did he go? We need that guy running the top line and dazzling the fans and opponents alike. There was a pass to Hoglander that was really sharp. He kind of just put it over a stick, put it into space. Hoglander latched onto it, tried to get it across to Besser, and he didn't get a shot off because I think it was Albert Johansson managed to get back and take away the play. For Brock, but that was like, oh, okay, that looked like a Pettersson moment. Just need to see more of those. Jake in Nanaimo, I'm not a Pettersson hater. In fact, I'm a fan of his defensive game, one of the best defensive forwards in the league. I think it's unfair to expect Pettersson to lead the team in offense and also be responsible in his own zone. This is why we need a Mikko Rantanen or equivalent offensive play driver that can score goals, not a passer or playmaker. Maybe it's not Rantanen, but a top player like MacKinnon, Marner, Pastrnak, etc. That's from Jake in Nanaimo, who also loved Hedl's emotion and energy after the goal. Haven't seen that around Rogers Arena in quite a while. The thing, Jake, is he's getting paid the type of money to produce offense.
Yeah, exactly.
You get that type of money, and the team is built around you providing offense. That just has to happen.
100%, right? Like, it really does.
Curtis, last one in T-Town. Guys, if Susie needs a reset, why isn't Juulsen? And reading Curtis's text here, been shot to the moon. 0 points, minus 14 in 34 games. Yes, he's on the PK, but explain to me why Mancini couldn't be a better option.
Well, I think, do you want to put in two brand-new defensemen, Pettersson already, who's a veteran, Mancini, and Elias Pettersson playing his second game without Quinn Hughes in the lineup? But do you want to put two brand new guys and one guy who's only playing a second game? Do you want to do that?
That's a lot of turnover.
That's probably why they don't do it. It's a fair point. I would say also Noah Juulsen gets scratched plenty. It's not like he doesn't get scratched, but fair point. Fair point. Madison Abbotsford says, really good third period. Gave away a couple opportunities to score. Connor, please shoot next time. Garland has some chances. I agree with Madison and some others. Like, it wasn't Garland's best game. He did a lot of good things, but some indecisiveness and maybe making the wrong decision at the wrong time a couple times. But he was very effective with the forecheck and driving play and did a lot of good things. But, yeah, I think those moments probably
like the
need to be sharper.
Night tonight, for Garland and Besser, to me, in the offensive zone, that they maybe did ambitious things, which is nice to see, but wrong decision at the wrong time. Could have been a pass instead of a shot in a moment. Could have been a shot instead of a pass at a moment. Those two Brock chances, right? 3-on-1, and I get it. It's Forbert. So, okay, you take that shot, but you miss the net in that play. And then the other one, like that pass to DeBrusk. It's like the tough pass, the cross-slot pass that they're always looking for. It's perfectly in stride. You just got to catch it and release it. Yeah. And he goes for a pass, a contested play for DeBrusk, which felt like the harder play.
Yeah.
Just get it on net, make Lion work.
Yeah. This text says, Pettersson was good, Pettersson was okay, Pettersson sucked. I'll leave it to you to figure out which one was which based on this unsigned text message.
That's pretty good.
All right. Let's go to the phone boards. Let's start things off in Stamps Landing, where we have Matt on the line. Matt, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to start off just kind of overall how I'm feeling about the team. And I say this with understanding of perspective and scale, but I want to describe the emotion I felt when first of all, with the Rutherford interview dropped, and then when JT was later traded, it was grief. literally grief. And I say that as someone who's lost a dad, lost my brother at a young age. My wife's had a life-altering injury. I know what real grief is and how to process it. But I was like, wow, what am I feeling? Holy smokes, it's actually grief. And, you know, if there's other fans out there who are feeling that, it's okay. You can label it what it is. It's okay. You know, no shame that you're feeling that, because we lost something that we thought we had, that core, that that group that we thought it's not going to happen. When you hear Rutherford say that, and it hit hard, because the part of my brain that is dedicated to the Canucks, it's not family, it's not real life in that way, but the part that's dedicated to the Canucks, I felt grief. So I'm processing it. I was at the game tonight. That was big for me because, man, of all the times that that team has laid eggs tonight, this season rather, laid eggs when they were supposed to come out in an emotional game, when they had new players in the lineup or guys coming back from injuries, the Dallas game and tonight, they didn't get the W's, but like they didn't come out flat. Like the team, there's a path forward. I'm at the spot now. And again, I say this with respect and with understanding the scale of it. Like I'm in the process of my grieving where I can actually open myself up to the potential for positivity, because Hedl, he looks great. He has a lot of poise with the puck, and the way he skates with it, the transition, everybody's talking about this already. It really, just like so many others have said, EP40, you know, is not looking good in comparison, because he's such a similar player in his his physical profile is rather similar, skill profile. Like, but this guy has the ability to skate and generate off the rush. Like, you don't have to be a bull in the china shop like a Bo Horvat or a JT Miller to drive play off the rush. So there's a place there. If people want to trade number 40, I'm at the point, and I wore his jersey tonight. I wore the number 40 tonight. I'm not even going to argue with them. Like, I am in a spot now where I'm trying to be open to the new direction the team can take, build around Quinn Hughes, build a new positive identity. I'm not arguing to trade anybody. And I just want to say a couple other things. If Brock, I love him. I absolutely, here's a guy who's been through so much in his life. I'm just talking about pain and loss. Like, he's experienced it in his real life. So many of us identify with the guy. I wish him all the best. I don't see the speed. And there's a time when he got the puck tonight, like the wing was so open for him to just drive down and create, he's not going to take it all the way to the net, but just turn that into possession in the offensive zone. But he's not moving his foot when he gets the puck, and it's just another chip in play. And I can see him just not being signed the way Alvin talks about him. So I just have to lower my not lower my expectations, but in the same way that Rutherford signposted things for us and allowed us to kind of be ready for JT to go, I think Alvin, the way he's talked about Brock, has kind of signposted a little bit for us, and we just all have to be like okay about there being a new era. Like, the de-Benningization of the core has been underway. Demko might go. Anything's up for grabs, really. And thanks for giving me a run here, guys. Appreciate it. Not trying to sound dramatic, but like, it's everybody, if you're feeling sad, it's okay. And we can build a new team, or we can have a new era of Canucks hockey go forward, because actually it was pretty decent energy in the building tonight. Yeah. And I like the new players. So thanks a lot for giving me a run, guys.
You got it. Thanks for the phone call. That's Matt in Stamps Landing. Vikingstad says Hall of Fame call. Very happy with that call. So the text inbox is liking what Matt had to say. A lot there. And, you know, I'll hit the Besser thing. That's going to be a big decision. Whether they're preparing us for it or not, that remains to be seen. I do think there is a real desire to keep Besser. Like, I do think there is a real desire to keep him. But it's at a dollar in term that I'm not sure appeals to Brock. And unless there's movement on that, we'll see. And I do think there is an element here, Bick, of he really wants to stay here, Besser. How badly do you want to stay? And what can we get if he wants to stay? You know, and so I wouldn't be surprised that maybe there's some hardball here to see if you can get a really good number for him, and maybe they change that as we get closer to deadline. But this chapter's not yet closed. Like, I don't think we can close the door yet on Besser as a Canuck. So we'll see what happens.
You know what I don't think helped that, though? The salary cap news the other day.
Yeah, because, you know, why would he sign for less than $8 million over 8 years, right?
Knowing what that number is going to now, I'd be pumped up if I was Brock Besser.
Again, how badly does he want to stay in Vancouver? I think that's going to be part of it. And if the Canucks don't go 7 years, I have a hard time seeing it. Like, 8 years is probably what he's asking for. If they don't even want to go seven, that becomes a bit difficult to bridge a gap, to your point, because he can look at a lot of money this free agency with the cap number being what it is.
I already could have made an argument. I don't think that's what he's getting, but just based on statistical precedent, Like, you could have made an argument that the number could be pretty close to 9.
Yeah, I mean, I was telling Dan that I still don't think he gets 9, but with the cap going up.
I don't think so either, but.
You never know.
Relative to, like, what other guys have done in the league.
Let's say Rantanen signs a huge deal, doesn't get to free agency. Let's say Marner also doesn't get to free agency. All of a sudden, Besser's, like, maybe second or third as far as forwards in the market. You know, and that creates a lot of demand, a lot of bidding.
He's put up better numbers than Timo Meier.
Yeah.
And Timo Meier got 8.8. At a stage, like, he had better numbers than Travis Konecny. Just pure production. Even if you'd say those guys, oh, they're bigger, they're faster, they play with more snarl. All those things are true. When you get to a negotiating table and one guy can say, hey, this guy's outperforming this guy by a margin, that's the number we want.
Yeah.
Someone's going to look at that and say, all right, like we're out of options here. Let's just do it.
And that's how guys get paid in free agency.
That's just what happens. So, and you can get, again, that was prior to, like, the huge inflation we're now going to see for the cap, which is going to go up from 88 to 95.5 to 104 to 113. And even Elliot on headlines on Saturday just mentioning, hey, those last two numbers, they could even go up even more.
Now, obviously, the economic uncertainty right now, sure, because of all everything going on with the U.S. and Canada, with the whole tariff nonsense, that has people worried about with the Canadian dollar, what
yes,
that means for revenue. So a lot undetermined still about how it's all going to look. But to your point, whatever happens with the economy, still the cap's going up.
Like, 95.5 is set, yeah,
and even, like, it's not going to be considered, like, because they're smoothing it out.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be even be higher next year, but they're adding to the following year's,
yeah,
cap. So even if the economy takes a downturn, the cap is still going up the year after to over 100 million. Maybe it's 101 at the very least, but it's going above 100. So that's a reality that everybody's staring at here.
It could spike a great deal, and suddenly, like, you know, we've chatted and we're like, oh, our walkaway number is 8. That feels like hard to achieve.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. Terrence in North Van says, all eyes on Petey, but it's time to move on from Brock. So some want to keep Brock, some want to move Brock. We'll see what the organization ultimately does with Besser as well. All right, keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox. We'll get more of your phone calls on the air on the other side. We'll hear from Hedl. We'll hear from other Canuck players. And this is the Canuck Central postgame show, a 3-2 overtime loss against the Red Wings. And it's a Canuck Central show presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
Hey, it's Jamie Dodd.
And Thomas Drantz.
Get your daily dose of Canucks talk with us weekdays from 12 to 2 on Sportsnet 650.
Or catch up on demand through your favorite podcast app.
This is where you talk Canucks. You're listening to the Canucks Central Postgame Show
on the official home of the Canucks,
Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network.
To Sherratt, left circle. Spinning back to the point. Elias Pettersson watching him. Sherratt dumps it wide of the net. Kane overskated it behind the goal. Elias Pettersson's got it. Here come the Canucks. 2-on-1 to center. Pettersson up the right wing for Besser. Into the Red Wing zone again to Pettersson in front. He's shot high and wide. It tipped off a stick.
Canucks lose 3-2 in overtime against the Wings, and this is the Canucks Central Postgame Show on Sportsnet 650 and the Sportsnet Radio Network. Satyar Shah with Bik Nizar. Keep your thoughts coming into our text inbox, and we'll go back to the phone boards in a second as well. But there's a lot popping off, and somebody texted and said, the de-Benningization from Matt and Stamps Landing. The caller went off. I love it. This will be in the academic books. They like the call from Matt and Stamps Landing.
A lot of love coming in for that call, 650-650. Should I read some more text here?
Yeah, go ahead.
Roman, Hedl looked fantastic tonight. However, it seems like he has some habits that could land in Tockett's doghouse. Is that just me, or did you guys feel that way too? I do think he looked like a busy player, where he's doing a lot. Like, there was a play where he essentially goes 1-on-5 on the zone entry.
Yeah.
He beats the three guys and then goes into the D-line, and it's like, well, you lost the puck.
Yeah.
There was a couple of moments where could he have made a pass earlier? I would chalk that up to first game familiarity, trying to learn everyone. But, yeah, like, there are some moments where you feel like he does too much. But at least he showcases the speed and the shot and the willingness to move around the ice and all that. So we'll see how it transpires. I don't know if coaches are often like, we got to remove all your offensive ability. They're going to want that. But
yeah,
we'll see, like, how it's shaped to fit the Vancouver Canucks.
There have been a lot of texts here about how the coaching staff are going to coach this out of them soon, and a lot of texts about how the only reason they played like this is because they were told to just go and play your games, and they weren't, you know, dumbed down by the system the Canucks were playing. But the head coach said, he liked what they did off. Like, he really liked what Heedle did off the rush and how he handled the puck and demanded the puck, and he wants to see more of those things. Like, there's always time and place, of course, but I guess we'll see here, right? Like, it is also the first game, and that's where guys have adrenaline, and they usually play some of their best games. So we'll see how much of that kind of, you know, carries over and is sustainable. But, yeah, something we're all are obviously tracking is, can this team with this system find ways to create more offense like they did here tonight?
Michael, 650-650, amidst all the Elias Pettersson takes and texts, this one. I agree Pettersson has been himself this season, but all I have to say is look at JT's stats from when he was 20 years of age till he was 26, then compare that to Pettersson. Stop the hate because he's having a down year. Let's see what he does with the rest of the season, then make a judgment. That's from Michael. And there's a couple more that are like that as well coming in. 650-650.
Yeah, and Jeff in Black Creek says, Talkett is going to absolutely eviscerate Heedle for that back check. It was horrendous. I don't care that you're tired. You can at least make it look like you're going harder. My God, that's Jeff in Black Creek about the lack of back check in overtime. I mean, we talked about that a bit earlier. He was tired, but you kind of want to see a guy settle out a little bit more, right? But, you know, it is what it is.
Performative back check.
Yes, and Burbs and River District says he's had enough of this. He's a season ticket holder, and he can't believe how many overtime losses he's watched. It has to be a record, right? He's just beside himself watching this team lose in overtime yet again here at Rogers Arena as well. And Bob in Victoria says...
It's not a record, by the way. It's 18.
18, yes, it's not. I think he was just... It felt like it, right? And Bob in Victoria says, that was a back-to-back for the Wings. Come on, man. You got to do better. So a lot of that, too. The Red Wings winning on back-to-back nights, beating the Flames last night, beating the Canucks tonight in overtime, despite being outplayed. Alex Lyon was great for the Wings between the pipes here tonight. All right, let's go back to the phone boards. Let's start things off on the drive where we have Robert. Robert, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
First of all, like, anybody like complaining about old things like losing in overtime, like, that's, forget about all that, man. Everything has changed. Like, we're dealing with a completely new, different situation here. All the old little problems are menial and non-existent now. Like, we're not even going to make the playoffs. I went to the game tonight. I'm a season ticket holder. I didn't know what to expect, and it turned out there was a lot of, like, Detroit fans and a lot of kids and families. Not a lot of season ticket holders, I don't think. So it's hard to get a real gauge of what was going on with the fans there. But on the ice, I mean, Heidel was the top-line center tonight, right? I bet Pettersson on the over. He didn't come through. I thought he'd be the top-line center. He wasn't. And to be honest, like, he was the most noticeable player out there. I think Talkett's really happy with this guy. Him and Garland created a ton of space. I see nothing but ice every time they were out there. So I think that was like the one positive of the whole game tonight. Dakota Joshua's got to find a way to fit into that line for sure. JT was noticeably missing. He's got 5 points in two games in New York now.
Four.
Yeah. He got 4 points. Yeah.
Yes.
Noticeably missing. Heart and soul. Talkett said you could feel the heart and soul was missing from the building. And the Canucks are lost. Like, they don't know what they're going to be. So it's going to take some time for them to settle and figure this out. But I will say, Tyler Myers is my new favorite Canuck ever since that interview when post JT trade and his real candid response to that. I mean, that was just so class act and so real and really told me a lot about that dressing room. So I really like Tyler right now, and he's playing really well. Other than that, yeah, I'm looking forward to see what Chattel does in here. And thanks for the time, guys.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks for the phone call. Whether this team makes the playoffs or not, you know, Robert isn't quite a believer in that. We'll see how it goes. There's still plenty of games left to go here. But obviously, it is a new team, and it is a new era. And, you know, we're all kind of waiting to see how it goes. And I think we'll get back to the phone boards here in a second. One thing I did like was the added speed Heedle and O'Connor both brought to the forward group. And we were talking about this, and you brought it up on the post-game show when the trades were breaking. And you looked up the edge data, and you mentioned how both those players are at the very top of the league as far as pace goes. And it's pretty incredible what two guys with pace can do to a lineup all of a sudden.
It looked totally different, right? And, again, like the good elements from tonight is – and part of it is the fatigue for Detroit, but like they were on top of them. 9 shots in the final 40 minutes, 6 shots in the first period. They were quick, and that first goal is created by Drew O'Connor getting in quickly on Alex Lyon, who forces a bad pass. There's Sherwood quickly up on Edvinson, and eventually it works around. And you see as the puck goes around the back of the net, and I think it was it Berggren who had the puck behind the net?
Yes.
Drew O'Connor with the size and like one stride is like, boom, right on top of it, forces the play. There's Sherwood up to DPD, and there's your first goal. But just like in one push, gets there perfectly, long reach, long stick, just impacts the puck carrier behind the net. And you just see that just noticeable pop of how much of an impact it had right away in the first few shifts of the game.
Yeah, it really did, right? And you're right about the first goal. And Hedo obviously scored the second goal and how he cut through the offensive zone mm-hmm. to create some space for himself. And both the thing I like about both guys, not that they're fast. They're fast, they have size, and they're able to fight through contact. Mm-hmm. Like, they get through guys with their pace. They're not easily knocked off, and I think that's something this team needs, too, and having kind of that firmness with the puck when you're traveling through the neutral zone with it, too. Let's go back to the phone board. Let's go to North Van, where we have Bob on the line. Bob, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts here tonight?
Hey, so I'm a longtime Canucks fan. I try my best not to get on the derail, but tonight game was awful. Pettersson, to me, looked lost. One of the things that my friend that was at the game with me that he noticed is in the faceoff circle, when Pettersson's in the faceoff circle, he ends up, win or lose the draw, he ends up on his knees. So even if he's won the draw, he's not in the play because he's on his knees and he's having to get back up, which I hadn't noticed about him before. Anyways, just a note. But my main anguish is back when Horvat was traded, he was traded because that trade was initiated by Pettersson. And knowing that, speed up to forward to now the Miller situation, nobody really knows what it was. But I have some thoughts that this trade was also initiated by Pettersson. There's a certain players he wants to play with. And I think before he gets involved in deciding who he wants to play with, I think he needs to take care of his own game and start to play some hockey. He's, at the moment, he's playing sub-$1 million-a-year guy. Anyways, frustration. I try not to get too down on the situation, but the game tonight, Canucks were rested. Their best players were the players that arrived here on a trade. So I would think they had a bit of stuff going on and so on and so forth. Their trade players were their best players tonight. Their core wasn't very good. And, of course, it goes without saying, I mean, they missed Hughes tonight.
Yes.
You know, it goes without saying. But anyways, that's my tangent for today. But Pettersson has initiated the Horvat trade, and I think he initiated this trade as well.
Okay.
And it should have maybe been the other way around. Maybe Pettersson is the guy that should have went as he's dictating how the team should go, and he's not participating in the overall outcome in a
All
positive
right.
way.
Thanks for the phone call, Bob. I don't think Pettersson initiated the Miller trade. Pettersson may also get traded at some point here. Like, I don't think they're making these trades because of Pettersson. We'll see what happens here ultimately. But yeah, I mean, you're expecting better performances. He didn't like how they played tonight. Derek and Bowen also says, you know, what are you guys talking about? They lost to the Red Wings, not the 80 Oilers. They look terrible. Our best players are third C on the Rangers. Wake up. I mean, they outplayed the Red Wings tonight. They just didn't capitalize. They have bad moments.
Yeah, we spoke like we about said they played 7 out of 10.
Yeah, and we talked about how, like, Pettersson wasn't good enough. I mean,
yeah.
if you listened to the show, you probably would have caught all of it. But
yeah.
Nonetheless, obviously, Bob, also not a fan of how they played. But one player who did capture the fans' imagination tonight was the new addition, Filip Hedo, who everybody agrees had a good performance tonight, at least before the overtime last goal. Some had some concerns about his play on the back check, but scored a goal, was lively all night, made an instant impact as a Vancouver Canuck playing as a second-line center. And here he is post-game talking about making his debut.
Yeah, it's been not bad, you know. I had to find my legs a little bit in the first period, but then Garland and Doug, they helped me a lot during the game, and then we started to play with the speed. We had a lot of time in offensive zone, but we talk to each other, we got to be more effective going to the net. And but for the first game, I think it went pretty well, but it's a lot of good things what we can build on.
You showed a lot of patience on your goal to wait in the high slot and keep going and outwait guys. Was that the plan? What did you see on that goal, the way they were defending you?
Yeah, there was some players in front of me and even some guys behind to try to strip the puck from me. I just saw that there was not an open lane to shoot right away, so I was holding that as long as I could, and I'm happy that it went in.
Obviously, quite the celebration. What does it mean to you to start with a goal right away after the train?
A lot. That meant a lot to me in that moment. It was so many emotions in my head, I want to build on that and keep working hard every day and be even better than today.
To get the tap to go out first in overtime, were you surprised at all?
I don't know if surprised, but I was very happy that I get that opportunity to be there. Unfortunately, we lost that game, but yeah, we have another game in 2 days, and we gotta build on this game. I believe if we're gonna play like this, most of the nights we gonna get 2 points.
Positives to build off though, with the way you guys drove play in particular.
Exactly. Yeah. That was good. The third period was, I think, the best period for us. We had so much pressure in offensive zone, but how we said, we need to score in that opportunities, and most of the nights we're gonna get 2 points if we're gonna play like this.
What was the message from Tocchet for you heading into this game?
I just play my game, just enjoy it, and it was not much time to get any instructions to how to play a system and everything. I just even when we spoke about something, you're still going with muscle memory and with your instincts what you have, because it was not much time to actually understand that. So yeah. It's gonna be more time, I think, in next couple of days to speak about that with them. But yeah, he also helped me a lot. That he said, keep playing your game and have fun.
That is new Canuck forward Filip Hedl, who had a successful debut scoring a goal tonight for the Vancouver Canucks and looked very dangerous. And the man we call the triple threat can be dangerous on many occasions. He closes things out here for us tonight. You watch him on TV, you read him on digital, about to hear him on radio. He is Ian McIntyre.
The man you call the triple threat needs a nap.
Yeah.
He needs after the last 48 hours. But it was nice. It was nice for the new guys. I thought they all handled themselves well. Cheadle, of course, was also on the ice for the OT goal.
Yes.
But I'm nitpicking. He looked confident, and he looked like he wanted the puck, which is a great sign because the Canucks are obviously going to try to elevate him. He's been a third-line center, but they want him to do more than that now that JT Miller's not here. And that, he had a good game. The newest Pettersson had a good game, and you can see. It's funny. Guys like that, they're easy to overlook when they're playing on the other team and you watch them once or twice a year. But when you actually watch what Marcus Pettersson does with his shifts, you can see why coaches love this guy. He's so smart with the puck and good with his positioning, plus he's built like a 747. He's not quite Zadorov big. Nobody's that big.
No, but he's large.
Yeah, he's got a long body and a long reach. It's almost like a left-handed Tyler Myers in a way, although they're a little bit different players. So I thought he was good. I thought O'Connor was good, and we'll see if Mancini gets in the lineup this week. But I think the biggest thing is with all the murk and the endless fodder that we've had to discuss the last couple of months, I think the biggest thing about tonight is there was just a freshness with the team, which is what you do expect that after a couple of trades and energy of new guys coming in. But this needs to be kind of a turning point. This needs to be, you know, where they recalibrate, set their direction again of where they want to go. And they still have, you know, a lot of runway till the playoffs.
Yeah.
There's 30 games here to get themselves in order, build some positivity, build some momentum, obviously collect a bunch of points because they're going to need those to even make the playoffs. But, you know, there's certainly still hope for this season. And it feels like the changes, it was great to see JT score twice in his Rangers debut. I think these changes are going to be good for both sides. And certainly it's a chance now for the Canucks to reset and relaunch. And everything but the final score tonight was good.
So there's a lot of positive, like Hedo and Garland working together. And I thought the Suter line was fantastic. The Bluger line had its moments too. And yet there's this one line that, like, you don't really want to mess with any of the other pieces, but then how do you fix the top line, which if they were going, you win the game.
Yeah, well, they need to be better than they were tonight. You know, DeBrusk is a complimentary player, and Brock, I think he's really, and I've said this before, I think he's playing his ass off. I think he really is determined to do more before, however his time ends in Vancouver, whether it's going to be the trade deadline, whether it's after the season, whether he even resigns. He just is so desperate to do more. And I thought, you know, he had a lot of great chances and he's shooting the puck, which is good. You needed to see him hit the net on the 3-on-1 that he had in the second period, but I liked his game and, you know, so it's, Pettersson is the guy who's got to drive the line, and I'm not going to dump on Elias tonight. I thought he was trying hard. I think there's a lot of pressure on him, as you guys have talked about, and there should be. And even what Patrick Alvin told us, those of us who were working yesterday out at the airport, I don't know what you guys were doing, he was very plain spoken about it, that he has higher expectations for Elias than anybody else, and he hasn't met those expectations either for the GM or for himself. And so now Elias has to go to work. I mean, I made the point that the biggest return on those two big trades on Friday night is Marcus Pettersson, because he's a defenseman that they've needed, and he in particular is one that they've coveted for a while. But the most important piece, the most important judgment from those deals will be, how does Elias Pettersson respond, and is he going to be the guy who the team thought he could be when they invested $92.8 million?
Yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of people saying that the Canucks chose Pettersson over JT Miller. I mean, Bob was calling in saying, blaming the Canucks that Pettersson got Horvat and JT Miller traded. And it's like, you know, he's not the guy making those decisions, right? But as far as why JT got traded, I don't think it was a decision. I don't think Pettersson's in the clear, is my point, right? I don't think they chose Pettersson over JT. If Pettersson doesn't play better by the end of the year, and heck, even by the trade deadline, not to say I'm expecting anything, like that door hasn't been closed.
No.
Like it's still a real possibility that if they don't see enough out of Pettersson, that he's not going to be a Canuck.
Yeah, incredibly good point by USAT. and it would happen now. Like now they're going to make a decision. Now they haven't made it yet, and maybe the decision ends up being they're just going to keep him. That's probably the more likely decision. But if you're going to move them, absolutely. It's going to happen before July 1st because their hands are tied after that. They just dealt with a player in JT Miller at a full no move, and it narrowed the field essentially to one.
Yeah.
One team. Now, my understanding is JT and Alvin said generally very positive things about JT, and generally that JT and his agent Brian Bartlett were excellent in working with the Canucks through this process. My understanding is it wasn't only the New York Rangers, but that was his first choice. And of course there'd been some contact there previously between the organizations about what a trade might look like. I think it's simplistic to say that they chose Miller over Pettersson. I think Miller really needed a change by the end of it. But I agree with you that, you know, for now there's clarity and it clears the air and it gives a chance to the team the chance to relaunch, as I said. But if they don't, and especially if they don't and Pettersson continues to play like he has the last 11 months, absolutely everything is back on the table.
Well, on the JT thing, because we heard Rutherford talk about how it's Pettersson and JT, like the root of their issues comes down to that point, right? But we don't know the nature of why JT took the leave. And we've heard rumors and so much stuff about what preceded it, what were the reasons for it. But I think it's clear there is a mental health component here that none of us can really talk about because none of us really know details, and it's hard to get in somebody else's brain and speculate. But I do think that factor played a far bigger role than any of us really know or anybody has shed any light on.
Right. But I also and the mental health, I saw somebody giving us a blast because we say it was mental health related, and JT hasn't said that. But JT has kind of indicated, as have his teammates at the time. I remember Brock Besser and Connor Garland talking about things that guys deal with that people don't know, and that everybody has issues. I also remember JT when he came back. In one of the interviews he did, I think it was about Pettersson, where he talked about he's just trying to get his own head.
Yes.
And I wish I could remember the exact quote, but he sort of volunteered himself.
Yeah.
He's got enough going on in his own head right now that he doesn't need, you know, whatever it was we were asking him about, probably the drama with Pettersson. But, you know, it's quite possible that whatever he was feeling was related to what was happening in Vancouver and how he felt on this team and in that room and in this spotlight. I don't know that we're ever going to have a clear cut answer, but I do know that this is a fresh start for JT that he welcomes and he wanted, and it's something that I think had to happen for both sides.
Would you make the decision? No Soucy, young Pettersson goes in.
Yeah.
Junior Pettersson.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, we've talked about Carson, and Carson has really struggled this year, and at times it looks like his game is coming around and then maybe takes a step back. It's tough for him, you know, being in the league as long as he has and being an established player. That's not an easy thing. But listen, there's other players here to take a look at, and we know that through the first 51 games before tonight, things weren't good enough. So of course you're going to look at people. I was actually a little surprised that Mancini didn't get in as well, and maybe he'll play this week. But I think, you know, there's competition at the bottom of the line, and maybe now there's good competition because, you know, the young Pettersson did pretty well tonight. You know, you know, obviously sheltered role and third pairing minutes, but he looked good. And just as Cheadle looked confident, Elias Pettersson looked confident, as young as he is, in doing what he does, right? And so now there is competition, and Carson will get back in soon, and certainly is capable, like a lot of guys are, of playing better than he has played, and he's a really good professional. So I suspect he'll use this as motivation, use it as a chance if he gets extra work in while not playing to figure out what he needs to do better. Certainly there's good resources in this organization for him, and Adam Foote and Sergei Gonchar, and also Rick Tocchet. So I think he'll come back and he'll be fine for this. He won't be happy about it, but this is what happens when the team hasn't played well enough and you make trades. You need to give opportunity to those other guys. What's the point of having Elias Pettersson here if you're not going to give him a chance? What's the point of making a trade for Victor Mancini and bringing him up from the HL? Now maybe he goes back to the HL and maybe, you know, he's going to get some time there, but you need to give these guys opportunity, and certainly if the team's not winning, that's the time to give them their chance.
Do they look like more of a Rick Tocchet team with the pace now, having Hedo, we mentioned him, but Drew O'Connor and how effective he was on the forecheck?
Well, they certainly were quicker tonight. I don't know. They're going to miss JT's talent.
Of course.
At some point. And maybe they missed it tonight. Who knows? But, you know, Cheadle did play well. If they can, what they need to be is just more dependable and predictable. And yes, they want to be direct, and yes, they want to be fast, but they were a great team last year with who they had. And that included Ian Cole, who was one of the slowest guys on the team, and, you know, included the marquee player who was traded on Friday night. So I don't think it's as simple as getting more speed, although the speed helps, or being more direct, although the directness helps. It's mm-hmm. being consistent in how you play and making sure that you're difficult to play against. I would say that's when you look at the Canucks this season and you're looking for a term that describes why the success hasn't been nearly what it was last year. Last year they were uniformly, consistently difficult to play against. This year they haven't been. Some games they have been, some games they've been a pushover. And it's mostly their own mistakes that have made them that way. And so they need to be a tougher out. They need to be a harder team to play against. And certainly the speed and the directness can help with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ian, always appreciate your time. And the arena's cleared out except for one fan who's screaming, chanting JT Miller right now.
I wondered if there would be chance today, but there wasn't. And
there was Kiefer Sherwood. He seems to have inherited JT's cheering section.
So I don't know if people can hear that in the background, but nevertheless.
There's one person yelling JT Miller out there. But that brings us to the end of the show, concludes tonight's festivities. And Ian, great stuff as always. Look forward to reading your latest on sportsnet.ca, which will be up here in a little bit.
So festivities, that's one of those words like don the gear and without further ado.
More or
like
less,
who uses festivities
Nobody
in their real life?
No, I mean, we use so many words that we just mix things up.
Okay.
Basically what it is. When you speak for hours on end, you just come with different ways of saying the same thing. You know, that's kind of what it becomes.
Kind of go through the thesaurus and
pick new words out. But thanks, Ian. Look forward to reading your latest on sportsnet.ca. I know it's still a work in progress.
A work in progress, but it's fairly progressed.
It's progressed
within half an hour.
All right.
I know people are setting their alarms. They don't want to go to doze off too early before they get to read on Sportsnet, or at least the three of us.
Right.
Or me.
Or you.
Maybe just me.
Perhaps.
You guys will be in the bar by the time I'm filing my story.
Yeah, we'll see if it's a bar night. Might be a just get home as quickly as you can night.
Yeah, before more snow comes.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Ian. Look forward to reading your latest. Thanks to Bick Nizar, back on the People Show tomorrow, 3 o'clock to 4. Thanks to Lena. Thanks to Eddie. I'm Satyar Shah, back with Dan Riccio tomorrow, coming up at 4 on Canuck Central. And thank you all for listening, participating, always a pleasure, on the Canuck Central Postgame Show, presented by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment, on the home of your Canucks, Sportsnet 650.